What if you found out today that you only had 1 month to live? That's a horrible thought, isn't it? What if you went to the doctor and the doctor says, I've got good news and bad news for you. You've only got a month to live, and I should have told you 23 days ago. Yeah, that was it. Without doubt, I should imagine you would stop living a lackadaisical kind of life and you would immediately start to think of what's the most important thing. What are the things that I need to do in the next month? I need to fulfill something in the next month. I need to do this, that, and the next thing. You will stop living on autopilot and you're determined to make the most of your life. And so today we're going to be looking at this thing, organizing my time. Because you only have a certain amount of time left in your life. And we need to make the most of it. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at those things. And last week, we looked at how to overcome envy. And so today, I want you to just think of the one thing. I, as a minister, have been often asked to be at the unveiling of a tombstone. And it's been a very solemn occasion, especially in the black community. It's a very important occasion in the life of the family. And that whole person's life, as I've looked at this tombstone, the whole person's life is reduced to that little dash between the date of birth and the date of death. Everything about that person, his significance, his wealth, his what he's done, what he hasn't done, is reduced to that little dash. And so what I'm hoping to do during this sermon is that you would live passionately for the rest of your life. That you would love completely, because just look around at these people. This is whom God has called you to love. And God, give me the grace to love these people passionately. Not just, oh, kum si kum sa, well, I have to, I suppose so. But to do it passionately. To learn humbly. And then when that time comes, to boldly go forth into God's presence. So I want to ground what I have to say in the scriptures. So we're looking at Ephesians in chapter 5, and it says this, for you were once darkness. Isn't that a word of hope to you already? You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be as foolish, or do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that was just an added effect for the Lord has spoken. So I want to be focusing on this particular verse. And it says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, organizing my time. That's our subject. But I want to look at this from the Phillips translation. Live life with a new sense of responsibility, not as those who don't know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Make the best of your time. Best use of your time. I think that's something that we need to hear again. That instruction, wake up, O sleeper. Sometimes I think many of us are just passing through life. We're just going through the motions. But your and my days are numbered. But what Paul is saying is that once you understand your purpose in life, you should use your time accordingly. You only have so many days allotted to you. So you need to make that dash. You know that dash on your tombstone? You're going to have to make that dash as dashingly meaningful as possible. I like that, eh? As dashingly meaningful as possible. So, time is your most important commodity in life. It's your most important resource. It's more important than money. Have you noticed that the lottery doesn't give you, if you take this ticket, we'll give you another 50 hours to your life. There's no lottery like that. You can't store it up. You can always make more money, but you won't have more time. You can't save it. You can't go to FNB, by the way, just a good Mac. You can't go and say, I've got this time, I'd like a deposit. Would you keep it for me for safekeeping? When I come back, I'll come and fetch some more from you. You can't manufacture it. You can only use it. And if you don't use it, it's gone. Just like that. You won't get it back again. It's gone. Time is not the problem. It's how I use it. So the Bible has given us three things that I need to be looking at. And I'm going to look at these three in the main points of our sermon this morning. How to devise my goals, how to organize my activities, and how to harmonize, bring into agreement, that all these things. Now, the main point about this is at the end of it, the whole idea about organizing my time, I suddenly realized as I was preparing, is that God wants me to know peace. And when I have this frenetic lifestyle, there's no peace. And there's no chance of peace. And so the organizing of my time has the end result of having peace in my life. So we can look at the first one, devise my goal. Every person of purpose sets goals. Every single person. Paul was a purpose person. And so this is what he said. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. He lived life on purpose. When he was confronted with the lordship of Jesus, his whole life was changed, and he realized, this is my goal in life. You heard Alan share with this. When God called him, he realized, this is what God has called me to do. And when God works in your life, he's going to work with purpose. I know the plans I have for you, says God. God's got plans for you. Very definite plans. So what are goals? They are statements of faith. It's believing with God. God, you've got plans for me. I'm going to set these, my goals in accordance with your plans so that I'm going to reach what you have, why you've made me. I think one of the greatest days in your life is when you realize that God made you. And then the second greatest day is when you realize why he's made you. For what purpose? A goal is a statement of faith, and it pleases God when you say, this is my goal in life, and I'm going to go for it. Now, you've spoken to your children when they were doing schooling, and you said to them, what do you want to do when you finish school? Well, I want to be a doctor. Well, you've got to start now, plan for it now. So how are your grades now? How are you working towards reaching that goal now? It's not one day, someday when I get there, I hope to be a doctor. So you start to work on it now. But it's a statement of faith. It's like those Jews I was meaning to you, said to you last time I was preaching. That when a child is born, the parents are saying, this child's going to be a doctor. And so from that moment on, they say, hey, this is Dr. Abraham. Or Dr. whatever, you know. They start saying it from the beginning. So the value of a goal is that it forces you to be very specific. It also clarifies your vision. It helps you to understand, this is where I'm going and this is how I'm going to get there. So it's good to write them down. I have a personal goal. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says this, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." By the way, before they ask you that why you have hope, they need to see it in you. Right? They won't ask you if you've got hope if you're living carelessly. But you have to do this with gentleness and respect. And I think that's so important. So that's my goal in life. Whatever we focus on, that is what you're going to move towards. Let me give you an example. In my life, I was spending a lot more time on Facebook than I ought to. And so it took up a lot of my time. And I realized, hang on a minute, this is a waste of time. And so I made the decision, I'm getting rid of Facebook. And I've deleted it from my computer, from my phone, from my tablet, and I don't even look at it anymore. Because I believe God is asking me to do something very specific, to be spending more time with Him. I want to know you more. That's my heart's cry. It's my heart's cry. It's a heart's cry that's coming out into the leadership. We want to know God more. We want to serve Him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We want to please Him in everything. It's a heart cry. I want to know you, Lord. And so that's what we're going to be moving towards as a group. But hopefully as a church, we're going to be moving the same way into that. Lord, You have everything of me. There's nothing I'm holding back. Most of the goal-setting books, that's better, miss out on one or two things. Firstly, they don't recognize that God has a purpose for your life. And then secondly, that God has uniquely shaped you to express those purposes. That's a whole area. You go and look at CNA or at exclusive books and go to the self-help area. Pick up any book and they won't mention God at all. God says, I want your purposes, your goals, to be based on my purpose for you. So just examine that in your own life. What's your goal? Is it based on what God's purpose is for you? I realized this in my life, that this is the most important thing for me. I belong to God. When I surrendered to Jesus, I surrendered my entire life to Him. It's not just a Sunday commercial. Monday through to Sunday, I belong to God. He bought me. When Jesus shed His blood, God was saying, that's how much I value you and I want you for myself. He became my Lord. He became my boss. And everything I do is to please Him. Well, it should be. I'm still in the process of being refined, and I suppose you are as well. So our goal is to measure up to God's plan for me. Maybe you can write that down. Maybe you can make a note of it. God's plan for you. I need to measure up to that. Therefore, I need to ask myself three important questions. Three questions that I want to share with you. Will what you're doing, will the goal that you're setting, glorify Jesus? Will it glorify God? Will it be something that adds to His glory? So therefore, Paul says this, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God. That's a goal in life. To glorify Jesus. So Paul makes it clear that whatever you do, it needs to be glorifying Jesus. Just take time, just a few seconds. Is that what is driving you in this last week? Will it be something that drives you in the week ahead to glorify Jesus? Will it make me more like Jesus? Remember that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, the whole purpose that God has brought you into Jesus is that you might be like Jesus. So he's working a plan in your life. He's working according to a plan in your life to make you more and more like Jesus. And the wife, you should say, please, Lord, answer my prayer. Well, okay, my wife is praying that. Okay, ask yourself this question. Would Jesus do it? There's a wonderful book written by somebody by the name of Sheldon, I think. And it was called In the Feet of Jesus, or In the... something. In the Footsteps of Jesus. A very good book. Grab hold of it. It asks that question. Would Jesus set this goal? Would it conflict with anything in his character? My goal, your goal. God wants me to have him in the center of my life. Not on the side, not when you have free time, but in the very center. The very reason I'm living is to glorify Jesus. 24/7, 365 for the rest of my life. So the third question, will it make a positive impact? Will it make a positive contribution to the world? Because I'm not living for myself. Nor did God just live for himself. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial or constructive, says Paul. And that's true. There are some things that are not necessary in my life, like Facebook. In my life. I'm not saying for you. But in my life, it was not constructive. It was not necessary. They're just not important. And so often I focused on the least important things, and they become so important. And when they become important, I move towards that important. And what I find happening is that I'm turning my back on God, and he's no longer the center of my life. And I realize if I carry on, I'm going to further and further away from God. Don't let the good keep you from the best. Oh, I love that. Will this goal help me make a contribution to the world? I think this is an important thing, that we as a church are here as a lighthouse for the whole world to see what it means for people who really serve Jesus and have him in the center to focus in on him. Does it build up? Does it edify? Does it make other people better? Or am I just living for myself? Remember, no man is an island. You will influence, whether you like it or not, for good or for bad, you will influence all the people around about you. And if I have the goal to serve Jesus and have him as the center, the people around about me are going to notice it. It's impossible to live isolated as a Christian. We've looked at these things. Now we're going to look at this, the first one. Now we're going to look at organizing my activities. Organizing... How often, I had a wonderful little picture of many of us hit the road running, some of us like a thud, and then we don't know what's happening sometimes. Wow, life is just going on so quickly. Goals have to be translated into actions and activities. God plans. He doesn't work haphazardly. He doesn't say, oh dear, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do in Tony's life today? I can't remember what I had planned for him. So he wants us to plan. Listen, look at this. Some of us hit the road, I said to you, just like hit the road running. Or some of us hit like a big splash. And you know when something hits a splash, it goes in all different directions. If you've got no plan, that's what happens. Look at that. An intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. Another word from my sponsor. I I saw this on one of Helen's books when she was training to be a teacher. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Isn't that true? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So what activities am I going to be involved in? If you don't set them up, somebody else will do it for you. Somebody else will fill up your schedule. No time at all. What am I going to do this week, this month, this year? A wise man thinks ahead. A fool doesn't, and even brags about it. Ah, man, I'm just kumsi kumsa. I take it as it comes. If that's your attitude, you're never really going to be living a life of purpose. You're going to be living as though, well, you can go in any direction at any time because it doesn't make any difference. God says, think ahead. But why? When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And God doesn't want that to happen in my life and yours. Now, you're going to spend the rest of your life in the future. You know that your life up until now has been in my 3 score plus 10 and a bit for exercise. But eternity is going to be a hang of a lot longer than 72 years. Are you planning? Are you planning in such a way that when the time comes, you're going to be saying, God, I'm ready. Oh, no, hang on, Lord, I'm not ready yet. Hang on, I need more time. Sorry. Is it worth your time? These activities that are taking up your time, is it worth your time? So, we need to set goals, then to organize your activities based on what you want to accomplish, what you believe God is calling you to be and to do. You have three dimensions in your life, and this is something so important. You are a person, first and foremost. You have needs. You need to be looking after yourself. You need to be caring for yourself. You need to be loving yourself. Because you won't be loving other people if you don't love yourself. And part of that loving is to make sure that I'm doing the things that God wants me to do and I have time to do it. Above all else, guard your heart. Because from it springs life. And they say, this is the area where if God is center, if God is pouring his life into my life, my heart will be reflected and people around about me will experience it. So the tendency is to concentrate on my public life. You know, this is one of the things that Alan was saying some time ago, is that we spend so much time to impress other people who don't really care, who don't really matter. And so we think that I'm going to gain all these other things. I must have this kind of car. I must have that kind of this and this. And I must have the brands and whatnot. And God's not impressed. But we think that we're impressing other people. But it's not really the case. And in the process, we actually neglect our own life. Our own wellspring of life. From where you are living. It's what David was trying to share last week. If I'm envying other people all the time, I'm going to be driven by that and I'm going to be trying to become like somebody else. Whereas in fact, God has said, all I want for you is to look like Jesus. Why must you guard your heart? We want to give people the impression that we've got all our ducks in a row, when often we don't even know where our ducks are. Your private life is crumbling. Is it true? God wants me to develop physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. All those areas, I need to be developing in those areas in order that I might be a ministry person to other people. If I am not caring for myself, I cannot care for you. That's what the scripture teaches. If you do not look after your own life in God, you cannot look after the church of God. And then, oh, that was the last one. to eliminate stress. Remember I said to you the whole purpose of this is so that you'd have peace. How many of us have said, well, I work better under pressure? Rubbish, you don't. Get rid of that statement, really. I need to get rid of it in my life. I used to think that I can work better under pressure. And so I leave things until I have to do it tomorrow. And then what happens in the process? You make so many mistakes and you do an incomplete job. And it's not something that glorifies God or impresses other people. My family. I need to be looking after my family. So that God has given me that responsibility. If I'm not looking after my own family, I need to be making sure that Helen is growing spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. I need to make sure that she's okay. And that's my number one responsibility after God. So if you're married, your wife or your husband is your number one responsibility. If you're a parent, you need to be plowing into your child what God is plowing into you. Bring your child up in the way of the Lord, and when they're older, they won't turn away from it. What's the problem in our world today is that so many of our young people have turned far away from God, and what is the result? We're seeing the chaos that we're experiencing. Whereas God really wants us to be peaceful people. People who serve Him and serve Him with joy and passion and boldness. And it comes when I love myself under God, then I can love my spouse under God. And then thirdly, my church. God has placed me in this church. God has placed you in this church. This church is important. This church is where God is going to supply all that is necessary for you to grow in your faith. And to become all that God wants you to be. You are a member of the body of Christ, God's own family. Just look around at it. This is God's own family. Hey? And therefore, I have a responsibility to make sure that you are growing. You have a responsibility to make sure that I'm growing. We need to be caring for one another, loving one another. This is where I'm going to be finding my best place ever. And therefore, Sunday is not just something, oh, well, I've got to do it. Sunday is a day when I spend with God and His people. It's where I become all that God wants me to be. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You cannot be a Christian isolated. And so if you say, well, it doesn't matter if I don't go to church, no one will miss you. Yes, you do. You are missed. And sometimes I tell you, I missed you last week. Remember? You've heard me say that to some of you. I do miss you because you are important to my growth, to our growth. Why do I need to be part of a local church? God says the local church is His visible demonstration of the body of Jesus on earth today. And because I have set goals, I want to become just like Jesus. That's the image I want to share with other people. That's the message I want to share. And if you're not here, I'm incomplete. We are incomplete. Membership of the local church is where we find the stability, the support, the self-expression, the comfort, the joy, the peace, the acceptance. So it's impossible to become all that God wants me to become on my own. Don't believe that you can just be a Christian on your own somewhere. All right, so we need two things. And then the last thing is to harmonize my schedule around my goals. Harmonize means to bring things into agreement. It means to be living a congruent life. It means to be what I say and what I do are the same thing. Knowing my life mission and my life purpose is one thing. Having goals and planning your activities is another thing. But if you don't put those things into your schedule, onto your diary, Alan challenged us last time. Is your time alone with God on your diary? In your diary. And if somebody phones and says, can we meet at such and such? No, I can't. And if somebody says, let's do something on Sunday morning. No, I can't. It's my time with God. It becomes important. Is it part of my life, my schedule? You end up otherwise being activity driven instead of living on purpose. And I said to you earlier, if you don't fill your schedule, somebody else will. We have to schedule it. I have to schedule my own activities. Yeah, if we don't do it, we're not going to be doing them at all. So, if you don't schedule it, we won't have the time. And you'll always be running after yourself. I think you can read that yourself. You have to make time for those important goals, those important purposes God has for your life. I need to cut it out. I need to say, this is absolutely vitally important. Therefore, I'm not going to schedule anything else as more important than this. John Maxwell and both of them say this. Rather than letting other people determine what's important in my life, by scheduling our own time, we determine what's important and schedule time for the things that we value and that we want to get accomplished according to our purpose in life. Very important. So one of the most difficult things is the actual disciplining. Now, as you listen to these sermons over the series, you're going to see this. The area of discipline is so vitally important. I can't discipline you. You can't discipline me unless I'm submitted to God in the first place. And to recognize that Alan, for instance, is saying to us as a staff, what's your purpose? What are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? But I need to recognize that I'm somebody under authority, God's authority, and I recognize his authority. And so therefore, in the church, I need to be saying, here is where God's going to be saying to me, hey, this is important. Go for it. So how do we make the best use of why do we need to do it? And how do we do it? By living purposefully rather than being activity driven. I want to get to that in a quickly. By focusing on priorities rather than on pressures. So I'm convinced that Satan's best strategy, his most effective strategy, is to keep Christians busy doing the things that are not important. So, have you ever used this expression, I'm too busy to plan? I'm sure that some of us have actually used that. I'm overworked and underpaid, is another way of saying it. You know, I realize that this word busy is an acronym, actually. It means being under Satan's yoke. So, three things in conclusion. We have just enough time to do God's will. Secondly, if you're constantly out of time, you evidently are trying to do something that is not God's will for you, and you're doing it the wrong way. So schedule activities that fulfill those goals in your diary, and you will find a new sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. And the overall word is peace. You will know a life of peace. And I pray that God would fulfill his purposes in our life, in this church, to his glory and to the edification of the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I started off by saying that God's love pursues us. And I hope that today you're hearing God's love pursuing you today and saying to you, I want you 24/7 365. Are you prepared to make that sacrifice and say, yes, Jesus? And as we sang that song earlier, I surrender. Is it just words or is it true? Saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I want your will in my life. I want to accomplish your purposes. I want to fulfill the plans you have for me. I want to be in agreement with those plans. Lord, I want to know your peace. If that is where you are, what you're feeling, what you're hearing God saying to you, maybe you'd like to come up after this song. There will be people on duty in the front here praying with you, willing to pray with you, willing to stand in agreement with you and to say, let's pursue God's love as he pursues you. I really want to encourage you to do that. If you need prayer for anything, in your job, in your home, in your relationship with your children, your friends, anything, if you have any need, please don't go without allowing someone to pray with you, in agreement with you. And if you're a visitor for the first time, please meet me in the welcome zone after the service. I have a little gift to give you.